Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
You're listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Maggie Gilmore, librarian with DC Public Library. This episode marks DC Public Library's one-year anniversary with Full Service Radio. Thank you to everyone who has made this program possible. It has been a dynamic year full of great discussions, insights from our library staff, patrons, and partners. To listen to past episodes, visit dcpl.fullserviceradio.org. On today's DCPL Presents, we are joined by General Manager of the National Symphony Orchestra, Genevieve Chumi, who will talk with us about the NSO In Your Neighborhood series, free community events happening this week in the Shaw, U Street, and Columbia Heights neighborhoods. We also have a couple of NSO musicians in studio with us, Mark Evans on cello.
Hello.
And Charles Nils on bass.
Hello.
They are going to be playing live in studio throughout this session.
Thank you.
You just heard Mark and Charlie play the composition originally written for cello and bass, the Edgar Meyer Duo. Now, that sounded like a truly American work. It's beautiful. Am I correct in that assumption?
That pretty much sums up Edgar's style. He's a bluegrass country guy first, and he also is a miracle on all classical side of double bass playing as well, and he really merges all styles and everything he writes and plays.
And what year was that composition written, do you know?
I have no idea, actually.
Well, that's
something
fine.
That I transcribed from an old recording of his with a friend of mine in college, just because we liked it, but there's no official print or copyright on it that we know of.
That was beautiful. So, Genevieve, talk to us about the NSO In Your Neighborhood series. What is it? When is it? Where is it?
Yeah, so that was really terrific. This radio broadcast that we're doing right now is actually part of our In Your Neighborhood series. It's our second activity of the week. And In Your Neighborhood is a week-long residency in this year, two neighborhoods in Washington, D.C., Shaw and Columbia Heights. And we kicked off today. Our first performance was at noon at the Hillcrest Children and Family Center. And our last performance is next Monday evening. It's an artistic exchange at Bus Boys and Poets at 7 p.m. And in between that, we have a total of 33 performances in 26 different venues with 36 musicians spreading out into the community and playing in all sorts of venues, including coffee shops, libraries, schools, churches, restaurants. And it's really exciting. So In Your Neighborhood is our most important community program, and it's a week of free performances in partnership with the community. And it's our hope that residents of all ages can participate in the arts. We collaborate to offer a wide range of performances, and we really hope that there's something for everyone to experience and to enjoy and to be inspired by. And the great news is that here we are in January, and it's really lovely weather. So there's no reason to not actually put your walking shoes on and just go from venue to venue. And you have some experience, obviously, arranging for this. And
yeah, I think this may be the third or fourth year that I've worked with the library in coordinating the NSO In Your Neighborhood programs that happen in our public library spaces. And you have a really interesting process in how you plan and schedule and conceptualize ideas for this. You know, we as a partner are given the opportunity to request programming that would work in our space. And that allows, you know, people like myself to be a little bit creative and think about how we can place not a full orchestra, but particular individuals, or, you know, what are some of the interesting topics our community might want to hear about in a discussion. I'm always fascinated by the artistic exchange idea, which you mentioned as one of your last performances, this go-round. Mm-hmm. Will you tell us a little bit about that idea and concept?
Yeah, I love that we really begin with kind of a blank canvas. And so when we choose a neighborhood, we know that we're going to have some full orchestra concerts. And when we take the full orchestra out into the community, we need space. It takes a lot of space to set up the full orchestra. And we also need space for the audience. Quite often you could find a space that we could potentially fit the whole orchestra into, but then there'd be no room for the audience. So that's sort of the first thing, is to make sure we actually have room for some full orchestra concerts. And after that, we really put the call out to the community and we say, what would you like us to do? You know, what kind of performances, collaborations, artistic exchanges? And then we receive all sorts of responses back, and it's really great then to start to go to the musicians and say, what are you interested in? What would you like to sign up for? Who would you like to engage with and to work with? And what venues do you want to go into? And so it just is a conversation that goes back and forth between the community and the musicians and the orchestra until we come up with a final schedule. And what's interesting to me is we start with nothing, and then we suddenly end up with all of these events, but we actually don't have any musicians that have signed up, so then we need to get the musicians to sign up, and it all comes together. And so it's really exciting to see.
And you are in a variety of unique spaces.
Yeah.
What is that process like in finding, you know, the physical space and finding new partners? You know, you're at all kinds of the Mexican Cultural Institute to Bar Roubaix and Right Proper this year.
Exactly. And I like the fact that we're early in the day and late at night. So, you know, Compass Coffee is at 11 a.m. and then Bar Roubaix on Friday night is at 9 p.m. So it's all hours of the day as well. Definitely I wanted to mention the full orchestra concerts because they're free and open to the public. And
Karen, where do you fit a full orchestra?
Yeah,
if
exactly.
Not the Kennedy Center in this town.
So on Thursday evening, 7 p.m., we're at the Columbia Heights Educational Campus, and that concert is actually conducted by our music director, John Andrea Noseda, and it's a beautiful program with some Mozart and Beethoven and a few of the movements from Holst the Planets. And so that will be a great concert to come to. We're actually there earlier in the day for a performance for the students at 2 p.m., and then on Saturday night, that's our other concert with the full orchestra, and it's at Lincoln Theater on U Street. And the start time for that is late, but many things are late on U Street on a Saturday night. So 9 p.m. start, and it's general admission, so people should come early to get a good seat. And the program is dance and party inspired to fit in with that Saturday night U Street corridor vibe.
Oh my goodness. And let's reiterate, all of these programs are free.
Yeah, everything is free. And it's really interesting for me when I go through and I think about, you know, what's most exciting. And like tomorrow night, we have four performances that are all taking place at the same time. So we're at Howard Theater and at the Source Theater, both starting at 7 p.m., both great chamber music performances. And then at 7:30, we're at the Dance Institute of Washington and at the Mexican Cultural Institute. So I for me, you know, I'd be kind of trying to figure out which of those four to go to. So they're all great and just so much to see. And then I wanted to mention just the diversity of groups that are performing. So 36 musicians, a whole assortment of ensembles, string duos, quartets, a woodwind quintet. And then we also have a trombone quartet playing at Right Proper Brewing Company.
Oh, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that should be great. I think that's on Sunday. And then double bass quartet. We have to mention the double bass quartet, which is performing at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Which day are we playing at Wonderland? Do you remember?
Yeah, well, so...
Sometime this week.
And it's sometime this week, and it's in the brochure, but it's actually on Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right.
And we could plug to find the full schedule, visit nationalsymphony.org/IYN for In Your Neighborhood. Well, let's hear from our musicians again. What will you play for us next?
This next selection are various pieces from Bartok's duos for violins. There's not a lot of stuff written for cello and bass, so we have to borrow, steal, arrange, and transcribe. So there are 44 total of those, but we're only going to play 4 or 5 of them, and I will announce the little titles as we go along. The first one is called Teasing Song. Mosquito Dance. This one is called Cushion Dance. This one is Ruthenian Song. This one is called Play. How do you say this one?
Ruthenian wedding dance, I think it is.
Oh, it translates to Ruthenian wedding dance.
That was Mark Evans and Charlie Nils playing the Bartok violin duos arranged for cello and bass. Now, our listeners cannot see what was happening, but I did notice you put something on the bridge of your bass.
Yes.
As you were preparing for one of those pieces. And then, Mark, you also moved some kind of thing on one of your strings. Could you explain to us what happened there?
Right, so these two little devices are called mutes, and what they do is they are placed over the bridge of the instrument where the strings contact it, and they serve to sort of dampen the sound as we play. So if you were going to play without a mute, you might hear... With a mute, it would sound like... So
Thank
it just
you.
Changes the sound a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. Just like a trumpet mute.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which is a little bit more visible. So the DC Public Library has a direct link with the National Symphony Orchestra in that we house the Hans Kindler Orchestral Score Collection. It was donated to DC Public Library in 1951. This collection of orchestral sets is available for Washington Metropolitan Area Orchestras to check out free of charge. You can visit dclibrary.org/Kindler for more information. Originally a cellist himself, Hans Kindler was the founder of the NSO back in 1931, and he developed a legacy of this dynamic programming with a series of accessible community concerts, much like the In Your Neighborhood vision is being practiced today. One of these series, the Sunset Symphonies, took place along the Potomac River. The audience was seated on the steps of the Watergate while the orchestra played from a floating barge in the Potomac River. The National Park Service actually built the orchestra shell, and later this evening we're going to get more into that history. Part of the In Your Neighborhood series, we are presenting a discussion about Hans Kindler with an NSO representative, Patricia O'Kelly, writer Ted Libby, and historian Noel Lopez. So that will be tonight at the Shaw Library. That's tonight, Tuesday the 8th at 6:30 p.m. So in considering how a conductor influences a city's orchestra and the programming that we hear, what is that dynamic with your new conductor and music director, Gianandrea Noseda?
Gianandrea Noseda, yeah. So we're in our second year now working with him, and we're so fortunate to have announced the early renewal of his contract. So his initial contract was for 4 years, and we've now announced a further 4 years, so a total of 8 years. And that's really exciting because it means that we're able to plan much further into the future and really dream of things in terms of touring internationally and recording and big projects. So that's one of the things that's really exciting. And I just wanted to say a little bit about who he is for some listeners that might not know. So Gianandrea Noseda is one of the most sought-after conductors in the world today. In addition to leading the National Symphony, He's the principal guest conductor with the London Symphony Orchestra and the Israel Philharmonic, and recently was announced as the next general music director of the Zurich Opera House. One of the things that makes him interesting is the fact that he has a very successful career working with orchestras, but also with leading opera companies, and he goes back and forth between both of those. So I was thinking about your question and about his influence on DC and on programming. And for me, when I look at his connection with the DC audience, it's very apparent. Sometimes when you go to a concert, you see this tremendous amount of effort and energy that's occurring on stage, kind of like today. Here we are sitting here very quietly, and meanwhile we have Mark and Charlie playing, and there's a lot of energy there. And sometimes that energy doesn't translate to the audience. But here the energy in the audience is really noticeable with John Andrea on the podium. The audience is really excited, and the response during concerts is immediate, positive, really enthusiastic. And his connection with the audience then feeds the performance on the stage, and in turn that translates back into the audience. So what I feel is this great buzz, and I think we're seeing that in terms of more people being in the audience and coming to our concerts, and he just brings an energy that I think is inspiring beyond the Kennedy Center and out into the DC community. In terms of working with him, I find him to be so generous. He's generous in sharing his vision and his energy and his time and his stories with people, and my impression is that the orchestra really enjoys coming to work with him. But what would you guys say?
I would say definitely. I'm really thrilled that he's come to us and he's going to be with us for as long as he will be. What I really appreciate about him is that we're exploring corners of the repertoire, the orchestral repertoire, that we really don't see very often. He's brought a lot of Italian composers to us, contemporary composers. Such as Luciano Berio on an upcoming concert that we really don't see very much of. And it's really a treat.
I'm looking at a coffee shop right now, and he's like double espresso personified. That's how I always think of him. And he's extraordinarily approachable as a person and as a musician, whether or not you're a musician or just a concert goer and an enjoyer and a lover of music. He's always happy to embrace and talk with anybody about anything, and it's just a real treat to have a music director who, you know, is almost like one of us in a way. So,
And now a term I learned in researching Hans Kindler, who also did some very interesting things programmatically in bringing in American composers in the 30s and 40s, and female conductors and females into the musician into the orchestra as musicians. He programmed a work by a Hawaiian composer called Prelude and Hula, which we're trying to track down. So if anyone knows where we can find the score, let us know. But this term, responsive programming, is something that he used. And for an example, during World War II, he programmed a concert entirely of Dutch composers after the invasion of the Netherlands. What does responsive programming look like today with the NSO?
Yeah, I was thinking of that earlier, and probably the best example that I can think of from this season was the Britain War Requiem, which we performed in honor of the centenary of Armistice Day. And that was really just a very powerful concert. And one of the things that we tried to do was to reflect Britain's original intention, which was to show some kind of reconciliation in how he wrote the music. And so the three soloists that we brought in were German, British, and Russian, bringing together three of the nations that were involved in having that sense of reconciliation in how we presented the program. So that certainly was an example of responsive programming.
And I actually got to attend one of those concerts, and it was absolutely wonderful. And certainly, Noseda just has an incredible amount of energy on stage, which must be reflected in the musicians and their response to that. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Genevieve, tell us about yourself, actually, as a general manager of an orchestra. What is your role? What is your day-to-day like?
Yeah. So as general manager, I like to think that I help things run smoothly. It's a very simple way of thinking about my role. I'm responsible for concert production, scheduling, touring, media activities, and community engagement. So this week, our In Your Neighborhood program is part of my area of responsibilities. And I'm the primary liaison to the orchestra. I try to make sure that communication with the orchestra is really excellent. I'm also the primary liaison to the Kennedy Center, so across the broad, all the different departments of the Kennedy Center, making sure that flow of information and communication is really good, and then also to the broader community itself. So a typical day for me varies a lot, really depending on the orchestra schedule. So the first thing I do is I look at what the orchestra is doing, and that kind of informs my day. I spend a lot of time doing advanced planning. I spend a lot of time in meetings. But I really like it when we get out into the community with the orchestra. So earlier this fall, a highlight for me was the Veterans Day concert that we had at the Air and Space Museum's Udvarhazy Center. And we presented a free concert there in the middle of the day, and the orchestra was set up right next to the Blackbird. And the audience was all around the orchestra on the elevated platforms. They were everywhere. There's little tiny kids. And one person in our audience was a veteran who was over 100. And that, I just love that when we can be out in the community and see the orchestra in that immediate connection with an audience. So,
sure. And the community loves to have you. Well, we have a good amount of time left. I know you have a couple of more works for us. Why don't you go ahead and play the Glière?
Sure.
And then I may ask you a few questions about your background as musicians as well.
Between. This is from a suite originally for violin and cello by Rheingold Glière. We're picking one movement called the Cradle Song.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful piece. The Glier Cradle Song. So, I know it is incredibly difficult to be a professional musician. You must put many hours into it, as I'm sure you have your whole lives. Tell us about the NSO rehearsal schedule. How often do you meet with the full orchestra? Do you have sectionals? How often do you practice as an individual?
Well, our average, I should say, you know, emphasize average or typical orchestra week with the full band is we'll have rehearsals on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and a morning dress rehearsal on Thursday, and Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night concert. And that's the whole program. And then the following week, repeat, different program, but similar rehearsal schedule. There'll be variations if we have certain POPs programs or like an In Your Neighborhood type of week where we have a lot of changes to location and general schedule. But typically it's a week is a program, and yeah, it keeps us busy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So there's a fair amount of individual practice that goes into the preparation for those times where we have to be together as a group. I think that the level, the time to prepare varies person to person and instrument to instrument, depending on what the program is. Sometimes we have sort of reduced orchestra concerts if we were playing a Mozart symphony or a Haydn symphony that wouldn't require quite as many players. So there's a lot of variety in what we do, and that's one of the things that I appreciate about the job, is that it's always changing week to week. We have new repertoire and sometimes even new conductors. And mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what are some of the concerts that you'll be playing this upcoming week?
Charlie and I are doing one more duo concert at Ben's Chili Bowl on Sunday
at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Six-ish.
Well, we'll see when they show up. 6 p.m., yeah.
And as mentioned earlier, I'm playing with the bass quartet at the Wonderland Ballroom later in the week.
Excellent. What are some of the other highlights on the program this week?
So we'll just go back to the bass quartet. That's the Wonderland Ballroom, and that is on Saturday at 4 p.m. So we clarified out later in the week a little bit. And then, you know, it's really hard to sort of tease out from these 33 performances some highlights. But I'm just going to touch on one each day. So tomorrow, Wednesday, the kickoff concert, we're calling it the kickoff concert because we have a post-event at the Mexican Cultural Institute, 7:30 p.m., is going to be really something to see because it's such a beautiful venue. It's a really great venue, and to be there and to hear music in that space would be really terrific. Then the full orchestra concert at Columbia Heights Educational Campus, 7 p.m. on Thursday night. On Friday, 9 p.m. at Bar Rube, we have a string quartet performance. So I think that would be something to see and really unique. Saturday is a tough one just because we have so much going on Saturday. But definitely the 9 p.m. Lincoln Theater performance is with the full orchestra is definitely something I would recommend. And then Sunday, obviously, these guys again at Ben's Chili Bowl at 6 p.m. But the low brass quartet at Wright Prepper Brewing Company at 5 p.m. I would also say will be a highlight.
And you and can then, walk from Wright Prepper over to Ben's.
Yeah, so you can probably Yeah. So and then Monday we end Bus Boys and Poets. We have that artistic exchange, which is with Glenn Donnellan violin with a guest musician, Matthew Van Hoos, and a collaboration with poets from Beltway Poetry Slam. So I think that's a really interesting way for us to end the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've done that before, this artistic exchange that we briefly mm-hmm. mentioned, where it's just a great opportunity to allow other local artists in the community to work with NSO musicians as well, which is a rare opportunity for them. So I love that you do that. Let's hear a final selection. What do you have for us?
This is the one of the cello sonatas by Barrière, mm-hmm. Number 6, right?
Yep.
Yeah, G major.
With repeat.
Yes. Thank you.
thank you so much. That was Mark Evans on cello and Charlie Nils on bass.
Thank you very much for having us. It's a lot of fun.
This is a real treat for us. Thank you.
It has been wonderful to have you live in studio. Such a treat. And Genevieve, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about this In Your Neighborhood series. We're really excited to host the NSO In Your Neighborhood tonight at the Shaw Library, and then also on Saturday morning for a family program and instrument petting zoo at 10 a.m. at the Mount Pleasant Library. And let's see, the NSO In Your Neighborhood series runs January 8th through the 14th. For the full calendar, visit nationalsymphony.org/IYN. And there's a hashtag too, right?
Right, NSO Neighbor.
Okay, so tag your photos, videos, and search using that hashtag, NSO Neighbor. This has been an episode of the DC Public Library Presents on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan. Thank you, Genevieve Chumi, Mark Evans, Charles Nils, again, for being today's guests, sharing your great talent and expertise. Visit dclibrary.org to learn more about the library's services and programs. Talk to us online at DCPL on Twitter and at DC Public Library on Instagram. Listen and download this show wherever you listen to your podcasts by searching for Full Service Radio. On next week's episode, your host Boomy will interview DC entrepreneur Marcus Bullock on DCPL's All Things Local, right here on Full Service Radio. Thank you for listening and have a good afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.